If you want to be the person who writes little poems for each episode, go right ahead.
Maybe I will.
Maybe you will.
That would be a little fun thing to do. A little fun project. Keep my mind straight.
Is that what you need to keep your mind straight?
Yes, I need to write tiny poems about each and every movie we watch to read them before our episodes.
They'll all end up being late, though, because maybe I could go back and re-edit everything into our previous episodes.
I'll just start doing them like after this episode.
How would your poem for The Witch go?
I have no idea. See, I need some time. I need a little bit of time. But they would all be in the Berenstain Bears, like, four, like, line, like, stanza, like, poems. They'd all be like that.
Right, the official crossover of my two shows. Finally. Mm-hmm. Finally a way for them to come together in a comfortable
who knows?
Nested.
Maybe Del Toro will direct a Berenstain Bears movie.
I would pay money to watch that.
So would I.
I'd pay money to see Del Toro's take on the Berenstain Bears.
It's just a bunch of like horrible, like gruesome bear murder.
It would all be about Big Paw. Hey everyone, I'm Phil.
And I'm Molly.
And
it's Del Toro time.
It's Del Toro time. Welcome back.
Yep.
Welcome back to the United States, or welcome back to one of the states. You were in D.C. for a while.
I was.
You were in D.C., and unfortunately we weren't able to record while you were in D.C., but we're back with not an episode, or I guess...
We're not recording an episode, bye.
not with this one movie.
Many movies.
Many, many movies we're going to be discussing. Very quickly, this is not going to be a long episode. It's going to be more of a hot wash. Mm-hmm. Because we got to the point where we've done 18 movies now from the Ecstasy of Influence list.
And we're kind of reaching the end of an era.
Uh-huh.
The end of a genre.
Yeah, and you were talking to me about, well, you had some concerns about...
Lesbians.
And?
Representation.
Of...
Lesbians.
And kind of just women in general. Like especially in the last like chunk of movies. Because like kind of if you look back at our like at the list, in the early part of the list, everyone was kind of represented poorly. Like no one came off good in Haxan or Nosferatu or Greed.
Witch.
Or Vampire or Freaks or any of those. Everyone just sort of came. I would say like around about Chaplin's Modern Times, Hunchback of Notre Dame, mm-hmm. is when we started seeing like the ingenue and the like really like pushed to the front as like here's a woman's role, here's where women are in society. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously these movies have all commented on that in the past. Like the wife in Greed certainly wasn't treated very well, but everyone was kind of like
Everyone was shown in a terrible light.
Yeah, yeah. And then once we hit Rebecca, we just sort of had this chunk of movies that... Well, they were all kind of the same movie in a way. Mm-hmm. And they all kind of made us feel bad in a way. Specifically you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because you brought it to me. You said you had issues.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. How did you put it?
I said, I don't even remember. It was a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
But basically my issue was, as a lesbian... It makes me feel poorly when I see lesbians represented in this way.
Yeah.
Like, I've been feeling really, like, down and, like, confused about my sexuality lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, reflecting on that, and I was like, you know what the only difference is that I've been experiencing? All of these movies where lesbians are shown in such a terrible, terrible light.
Right. Even if they're not named as lesbians, it's like, oh... And it's this avalanche. We've been watching this avalanche of films. Like, hey, everyone. let's do a quick walkthrough of the movies we've watched so far. And just sort of reflect on them really quickly and see, like, what our impressions of them are. If we can even remember what they were about at this point. So we started off with Haxan. You remember anything about Haxan?
I remember the crazy faces.
Silent films.
We made a lot of jokes.
Yeah.
Because we kept coming up with our own, like, words that were being said.
Right, a silent film.
Mm-hmm. There was, like, that big pot of, like, stuff that was being, like, made.
Yes. Yeah, it was, I had a friend who just brought it up online recently. He was like, I've never seen this, I'm going to give it a watch. And I was like, ooh, you're in for a treat. Like, it's a zany little movie. Nosferatu.
The shadow scene.
Mm-hmm.
Death.
Any of the... let me know if we hit a movie that you think you'd probably like to go back and revisit at some point in your life. Like,
in my life?
Yeah, just like... Any of these stick with you as like movies you'd like to go back at some point and like...
It really depends on what life is.
Greed.
Never. Never again.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever watch Greed again, but...
Fingers.
That's weird to think, like...
You know what I was thinking about, though? The fingers in Greed.
Uh-huh.
You see that reflected in Shape of Water.
Oh, that's true. That's true. We do have finger trauma in Shape of Water. Oh, that's interesting.
Very similar to Greed because his finger gets bitten off by the creature.
Yeah, very
specific.
And
then it starts rotting off.
Ew, that's right. Oh, my God. I hadn't thought about that. Let's take a look at that again when we re-examine Shape of Water because that's kind of a big plot point.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm, corruption of the flesh.
Specifically the finger.
Hand trauma, all that. Frankenstein.
I've already watched it so many times. I mean, after reading the book, it kind of lacks a bit.
Yeah, it throws it all into really. We had a kind of quiet adventure with Frankenstein.
We did.
Like that was a little like
That was a fun little like tromp through the woods of Frankenstein.
Yeah, if you haven't gone in back and listened to our, if you haven't listened to our Frankenstein episodes, if you came in after that or you just skipped them from whatever, when we reviewed the book, we spent 4 episodes doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I go back and give those a listen. Those are some pretty solid discussions we had.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that
a lot. They were less goofy and more book.
Right. I feel like things took a big turn with us when we hit Freaks. I feel like the
Freaks was the one that I really liked.
Right, right.
That was the one where I started really getting into stuff.
Yeah, what was it about Freaks that sort of changed
things?
It
was fun.
How so?
It was more energetic.
Mm-hmm.
People did. Was that a silent film still?
No.
People spoke in it.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just like there were a lot of crazy, wacky characters in it that I really liked.
I feel like Vampire was our first foray into like the abstract. That was a weird one.
That was a weird movie.
It was a strange little movie.
I remember the women, like the dancing ladies.
That we couldn't figure out.
Yeah, and like the weird, like, am I dead or am I dreaming?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the one where we were like, did he die? Like, I don't understand what's happening. But Vampire, I've actually recommended that to people since we watched it because I was like, if you want a weird old vampire movie, that one was the one you got excited about because it was like steeped in like really old vampire lore. Like super old vampire lore. And I'm going to throw in right now, I don't know if I've mentioned this in the show. I think I have, but if you have a chance, pick up a copy of the book on like Kindle. It's very cheap because it's an old, like more than 100 years old book. Pick up The Vampire, His Kith and Kin. I've been working on that book now for months. It is so dense. But if you want a book about the history of vampires from a man who honestly believed in vampires and did his research, then if you want to know everything about the origin of the vampire from a guy who honestly believed that we were in mortal peril from them, it's like reading a book that like Buffy the Vampire Slayer would be handed by Giles. It's that dense.
I want to read it.
Oh, it's intense.
Is there a physical copy I can pick up somewhere?
I think you can order physical copies of it, but yeah, Vampire, His Kith and Kin. It's quite a ride. And then we hit Rebecca. A good movie.
A good movie. It was such a change in like mm-hmm. pace and like whatever from everything else we had previously watched.
Right. And it's the one that started the, well, Rebecca story.
Yeah.
the sort of intro into, I don't think you're a huge fan of gothic romantic horror.
I don't like romantic.
Right. But like I think like you seem to have an aversion to like the giant house, the mysterious woman.
Because I don't care about all these rich people.
Yeah, who cares? Who cares?
I get it. You're worried about your husband that you married a day after you met him.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I totally skipped ahead in the list. Rebecca wasn't next. Put a pin in that. The Bride of Frankenstein, Little People in Jars was next.
Best movie we've ever watched.
Bride of Frankenstein was a trip and amazing.
It was literally a trip.
Yes.
It was like we were on every drug in the world.
And then our favorite movie, The Raven. Folks at home.
Watch The Raven.
Watch The Raven. If you get your hands on The Raven, just give it a watch. It's so short and it's so stupid and it's so amazing. We love it. I think we've mentioned it on every single episode. We love The Raven. Charlie Chaplin, Modern Times.
That was an interesting movie.
Yeah.
I liked the weird button scene.
Yeah.
I thought it was, I liked it.
I think Modern Times was the first movie we watched that I found to be, it's great. I find it's, you know, I understand why it's a classic and I thoroughly enjoy it, but I'm also, it's probably the first movie that I found difficult. Like it's so herky jerky. It's such a weird movie. And like,
I'm not a big fan of the whole like humor thing.
Yeah.
Like some scenes obviously got me, but like it was hard to get through at times. Mm-hmm. It was very long.
It is very long. It's a very long film, but an interesting movie. Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Better than I thought it was going to be.
Me too. Me too. I enjoyed
better than the Disney movie.
Yes, I enjoyed Hunchback a lot.
I liked the fact that he wasn't a good guy.
Right. I thought it did interesting things with a very difficult story.
Yeah.
And, you know, had some...
There was some weird, like, background story stuff going on. Mm-hmm. There was some creepy men.
Mm-hmm. And some men we couldn't tell apart.
And some whitewashing.
Yes. And a goat that was put on trial.
It was a great movie.
Right. And here's where we hit Rebecca, and we already covered that. We'll get back to that. Fantasia.
The worst movie.
Moving on. Sullivan's Travels.
A great movie.
An awesome movie. And I didn't realize this. We have a Preston Sturges coming up in just a little... not just a little bit, but we do have another Preston Sturges coming up in a few more films.
Good.
And I'll be interested to see a movie from a little later on in his career, like after the Sullivan's Travels thing happened. Suspicion. Well, Suspicion our... No, Rebecca was our first Hitchcock, and then we hit Suspicion. And we were like, huh, I'm detecting a theme here.
A theme of the same movie over and over and over again.
Right, because even though Suspicion wasn't completely Rebecca-ish, it had a lot of...
Rebecca.
...in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is where we started being like...
This is where the theme emerges.
Yeah, because the next movie we hit was Jane Eyre.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was like, hold on. What's happening here? Where am I? What? What is going on?
It's the same movie.
All of a sudden, we started saying... Strong movies.
Yeah.
Well-made movies. Well-acted, but when you clump them all together...
It gets a bit tiring.
And you notice this trend, and then the next movie was Shadow of a Doubt. Okay, Shadow of a Doubt was its own animal.
Yeah.
But it still had a lot of the same, like, weird, psychosexual, weird...
Is something actually happening, or is it all in her head?
Inappropriate relationship with a younger woman and an older man, like... That got weird. And then we got the 1-2 punch of Shadow of a Doubt. And then I Walked with a Zombie, which we were like, wait a minute. Jane Eyre was 2 movies ago. We're watching it again. Although, again, we liked I Walked with a Zombie.
Mm-hmm.
But then the thing that I think pushed you over the edge was our last film that we watched, which was The Uninvited.
Yeah.
And we were just like, hold up, stop. Wait, stop. Stop it. Stop. Stop everything. So what was it about The Uninvited that kind of pushed you over the edge?
It was, okay, so I had been getting used to the negative light shown on lesbians. Mm-hmm. I'd been like, okay, I can deal with this. It's just a few movies. But as soon as we got to the part where she started freaking out and like going crazy, I was like, I am done. Enough.
Right.
This is enough.
Crazy. Another.
Because it was too real. It
yes. got
too real. Like people, women were actually put, and men were put in these like institutions when they were found out to be gay. Like, this is too real. Too real.
Yeah.
It's not a joke. It's real.
And I don't think it was it was a controversial film because of that. Not because of the way lesbians were portrayed, but because it portrayed lesbians. Which, you know, that's its own problem. But so we have all these movies that kind of came in a clump together. It was apparently a trend in Hollywood.
I mean, I'm not surprised. They were good movies.
But why do you think we were so obsessed with this subject at the time?
Because everyone wanted to be rich.
What does that have to do with lesbians?
I was mostly talking about the main characters. American dream for a young woman in that time period was to marry rich, have a nice house.
Mm-hmm.
But also, marrying an older rich man had its worries, mm-hmm. because they were older rich men and they would take advantage of you, which is why I think of all the like psychological, like, is it actually happening? Did something happen? Like, nobody's believing me. What is happening? I think that's, I feel like it for like the horror of the time, that was very real.
Yeah, so we're still in the, at this point, we're in the midst of World War II. Hasn't ended yet. So we haven't had the servicemen returning home. We haven't had the baby boom start.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't quite hit the borderline where we start pimping the American dream to Americans. So I think we are in this weird transitional period, like you were talking about, where are we as a middle class? Like, where are we as a,
yeah,
how do we break away from like the 19th century mores and segue into this mid 20th century?
And also, this was like the time where women started working, like, mm-hmm, Rosie the Riveter, all that stuff. And I feel like Hollywood needed, like, I feel like Hollywood wanted to show these women in these submissive roles, mostly to put women back in their place.
So do you feel that the portrayal of lesbians at this point was a reflection of some kind of fear of stronger women?
Yes. Yeah.
why do you think that the studios would have jumped on that? Like, why do you think audiences would have responded so positively to that? Or did they respond, do you think, positively to it?
I think they responded to it.
Mm.
I mean, I don't have the mindset of a woman,
right,
in World War II, because I've never had to deal with anything like that. I think that the women enjoyed seeing these female protagonists who were like them overcoming all of these barriers. And I think that the men saw these strong female characters and were scared.
Hmm.
And I feel like I think they did really well because of the various reactions that they got from these two groups of people.
Right. And we know from the code that, you know, the film code said that, you know, you couldn't even portray homosexuality in any form.
Mm-hmm.
So it all had to be sort of like hinted at, wink, wink, wink.
It was hinted at a lot. Very openly hinted at.
And then once you do represent it, you have to punish the transgressor, was another rule, like a written down rule. Like, if you show a person who's in any way sexually quote-unquote deviant, something bad has to happen to him.
And that's why every character in a horror movie who has sex dies.
Right. And it must have been something, though, to be like, especially if you were like a lesbian at the time, to go and see, like, this was the, you had that thing where this is the only portrayal you will see of someone in any at all like you on screen. And it's a negative portrayal, but it's also a portrayal. Like, there's an acknowledgement, at least. Mm-hmm. It's that, like, I guess it's kind of like when little people actors would see themselves portrayed, you know, when little people actors would play, well, like in Freaks. Like, well, I guess, like, at least in Freaks, like, the characters were characters, like the two main love interests.
And, like, they had a happy ending.
They had a happy ending, and they actually had like a romantic and sexual relationship, like,
which is weird because they were brother and sister in real life.
That is true. But, you know, it's a shallow pool, I guess, of talent at the time. It's funny though. I had forgotten all about that fact that, like, they were actually like, it was such a weird movie at the time because you actually had small actors playing well-rounded characters, and you stopped seeing that for decades in Hollywood. Like, they had lines and emotional lives. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So, and also, like, you get to see, like, you see, because they're like, what was his name,
who
the main the
oh
main.
I don't remember. Is it Hans or something?
Yes, Hans. You get to see his emotional reaction to be made fun of by these people,
right?
And you get to see that, oh, they're people.
Yeah. And you don't get that though with portrayal of lesbian characters at all.
You just see them as evil meat beings.
Evil meat beings?
No, I was trying to say evil beings.
Oh.
But it almost came out as evil men, and I was like, they're not men.
Right. No. I prefer evil meat beings. No, it's true. Like, it's almost as if Todd Browning gave us a good start with Freaks. But everyone panicked
and
about
even
it.
Even in, like, I Walked with a Zombie, the people of color there, they're characters.
Yeah, yeah. We
like,
do
less so
two.
Than like they should be.
Right. But at least they have opinions about their, they're allowed to have opinions about their, what has happened to them historically.
But freaking, what is her name? I can never remember her name.
In The Uninvited?
No, And I Walked with the Zombie.
Oh, I don't remember.
The zombie lady.
Oh, Alma?
That wasn't the zombie lady.
I don't remember. Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah. Like, she was just, because we were like, they're gay for each other.
Right.
Gay. She had nothing.
Yeah.
She's just a shell.
Mm-hmm. Well, they talk about in the book and in the documentary, The Celluloid Closet, there's a lot of talk about, you know, the portrayal of homosexuality on screen and how a lot of it was, even when it was finally portrayed without coding or anything, when it was like, this is a movie about gay people, it was always about the tragedy of being gay. Because I guess there was a lot of tragedy in your life.
Especially faced, in that time period.
You see it now with the portrayals of people of color, especially like Black and African-American stories. There came this tipping point where they were like, you started hearing Black and African-American actors and writers and filmmakers saying like, okay, thank you for making so many movies, but we don't want to play people overcoming slavery for the rest of our lives. We just want to tell our stories.
And that's where Hidden Figures came from.
And it was that thing where it's like, there's more to our, there's more, we have more stories.
There's more than sadness.
Yeah. Just, if you'll just let us tell our stories and not have to like have them filtered through like the white, straight, cis male studio system. again, this is the 1940s. So we are looking a little far back, but yeah, so now we've hit these movies. We've covered many of them.
Punched him right in the face.
And I think we're at a bit of a turning point now. We have a few movies coming up that still, not even a few, like maybe one or two, that feel like they could fall into that gothic romance category, but they're a little further on down the line. Like, there's a few years.
I just want to see someone get murdered, okay?
But I think we've got some murder coming up. We've got some horror coming up. We've got some more monsters coming up.
Is Clue on this list of movies?
Clue is not on this
list
of movies.
That's so lame.
Not on this list. I don't know. For all I know, it's on the Twitter list. But
if it's on the Twitter list, I'm covering that one.
you cover it in about 15 years when we get to the 80s. No, we've got Beauty and the Beast coming up next. We've got Dragonwick coming up next, which is supposed to be great. A couple of Dickens. Then we get to our Preston Sturges, and then some horror and some monster movies. So, do you think you'll be able to pull through and make it through them?
No, we're canceling this series right now.
But I think it is. I think it is. You know, like, worth talking about the fact that You can acknowledge it. We had this discussion with Crimson Peak, which is you can acknowledge the quality of a film and still have a lot of problems with it. And I think, especially when you're discussing movies from extremely problematic eras, you kind of can't turn a blind eye to their portrayals.
There's nothing wrong with this. Yes, there is, Karen. Be quiet.
There's always something wrong with the movie. All of your faves are problematic. Even Sullivan's Travels had that chef.
Oh, God.
The chef. Oh, no. He has white face on. It's not cool, Preston Sturges. I don't know if you're making fun of this trope or not, but it's still not cool. Always going to be a problem. So, we've got some more movies coming up. Hooray.
Woo. Imagine if this was the end of our list. Like, this was it.
It's a solid list. It's still a solid list. If someone was like, give me some movies between 1920 whatever and 1943 or whatever, I'd be like, here's a solid list of movies. Go wild.
So now you know. Now you know what to watch if you're ever in the mood for that era.
Now it's a great list. You can find this list on letterboxd.com, Guillermo del Toro, Ecstasy of Influence. If you just go there and search that, you'll find my list. It's right there. It'll pop right up. On Letterboxd.
I just totally spaced out.
And you'll also find me, but don't look at my profile. Don't do anything interesting on Letterboxd except keep track of the movies I watch, which I guess if you really want to see what movies I've watched, there they are, all several thousand of them.
How do you have time?
To do what?
Watch movies.
Now, this is every movie I've watched since the beginning of my life. Like, you just go through and just click movies as they come up. Like, seen it, seen it, seen it, seen it, seen it, seen it. So
How do you have time?
Because I have two monitors at work, and sometimes I'll just pull up Letterboxd and be like, click, 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 while I'm working on other things. That's the benefit of sitting in an office for your whole day. Sometimes you can just click on things and click on them. But if you like the show, please go to Apple Podcasts and rate and review us. We'd like to hear more of what people think about us.
Yep.
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at P. Corey Gonzalez. And if you want to follow me, that's...
What is this Twitter promo all of a sudden?
I'm just trying to tell people where they can find me. Or do you want to tell people where they can find you online?
I don't even remember my Twitter handle, man.
But you have an Instagram account.
I do. I have two of them, actually.
Oh.
My first one is MN Gay, which is my my personal...
But it's like M underscore...
Nope, it's M dot N dot G-A-E.
Right.
Which is my writer's handle, my... What's the word that I'm looking for?
Pen name?
Pen name.
Yes.
Because I think it's hilarious.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I'm on Instagram as well, but I never do anything
interesting. Neither do I.
I post angsty videos sometimes, like I did today, about horrible things that have happened recently in our house.
I should watch that because I am not up to date.
You'll find out it's spooky. No, it's not. It's
Are
not
there ghosts in our house or something?
I wish it was ghosts.
At least it would be interesting.
At least it would not be what I had to deal with today. But until next time, everyone, thank you for listening to our Del Toro Time Hot Wash. I'm Phil.
And I'm Molly.
And we'll see you next time when
it's Del Toro Time.
Bye.